Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, this is awkward, isn't it? I mean, aren't you really uncomfortable? I mean, everything was going swimmingly, quite normal here at First Congregation on the Jordan. But now there's a hush over our desert parishioners. The baptismal liturgy has come to a complete halt. The preacher, John the Baptist's chin, hits the water. He's dumbfounded. For the first time in his life, he doesn't know what to say or what to do. After all, look who's here. Who invited him? He doesn't belong. Seriously. Why? Well, it's not because of his skin color, his gender, or his religious affiliation, or anything like that. It's because John's ministry here at First Congregation on the Jordan is specifically and only geared to sinners. The services are designed for sinners. John has matrixed his ministry for transgressors, from big-time capital offenders and felons to the very petty wrongdoers, from the very, you know, outwardly pious and uber-religious yet inwardly brood of viper frauds and hypocrites, to the full-blown deadbeats, hardcore, bare-knuckle, brazen, low-life reprobates. John is strictly in the dealing with sinners business. That's his reputation. That's his gig. He's a rock star preacher who is so YouTubeable, who preaches repentance and a baptism for the forgiveness of sins from the A-list celebs of Jerusalem to the garden variety sinners, as well as the wolves of Wall Street, derelicts, deadbeats, street bums, prostitutes, and all around good-for-nothings. And so I ask you again, who invited Jesus? Did you? How about you? Did you invite him? You didn't? Then why in the world is he here? He's totally out of place. First Congregation on the Jordan has nothing to offer him. A sermon calling Jesus to repentance doesn't apply to him. A sermon that would absolve him from all of his sins, that doesn't apply to Jesus. He is the exception to the rule of humanity. He has nothing to repent of. He's not a sinner in any way, shape, or form. So, when holy, perfect, sinless Jesus walks right into the water, sidles up to preacher John, and requests John's baptism for sinners, you can now understand why John wants to put a stop to it immediately. This is really awkward, Jesus, John sheepishly says. Quite unnerving, Jesus. I mean, you've got everything backwards here, Jesus. I need to be baptized by you, so, you know, let me step aside and turn the liturgy over to you. Here, you baptize all of these sinners that are gathered here at First Congregation on the Jordan. In fact, I'll be the first one in line, Jesus. I'm just as big a sinner as all the rest. And so, be my guest, Jesus. The river, it's all yours. Jesus doesn't back down. He insists that John baptize him. Jesus says in the text, "Let it be so now." Now, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill all righteousness? What in the world is that? Couldn't you say it any more simpler, Jesus? John, what does he mean? I mean, you seem to get it, John, because now you've changed your mind and you're going to baptize Jesus. So how about a little explanation, please? A little help here, John. To fulfill all righteousness, John declares, is to do all of God's will. It is to fulfill all of God's purpose, to do everything that God wants done. Well, all right then. We're with you so far, John, but don't misunderstand us. You know, we're not against God doing his will and, you know, all that. But, you know, what's that got to do with sinless, holy, and perfect Jesus making such an outrageous request to be baptized by you? After all, Pastor, you only deal with sinners, right? Come on, Pastor John. If you baptize Jesus with your sinner's baptism today, you will be treating him as if he, oh man, we can hardly bring ourselves to say it, but we have to. You'll be treating him like he's a, oh, that he's like a sinner. Like he's one of us when he's not, and you know it. So, you know, Pastor John, with all due respect, you know, with great love and admiration and thanks for your ministry among us, we have to emphatically object. And we now have to take over First Congregation on the Jordan now. We've taken a vote and it's unanimous. We are not going to allow you to do this. Stand down, Reverend John. We've rescinded your call. Now, you be a good boy now. Here's a check for 2 weeks' severance, a spare camel hair suit, and a month's supply of locusts and wild honey. That ought to get you by, right? Because we will not tolerate your behavior anymore, Pastor. Your rock star status has gone to your head. So, you know, it's up to us now, John. We will protect Jesus from being treated as a sinner. We forbid you to give holy and perfect Jesus a baptism that is meant only for sinners. This cannot be God's will, John. We know the most fundamental rule in the world, and it's this, that two contradictory things cannot be in one thing at the same time. You know, like light and darkness, or oil and water. And so what is holy must be kept apart from what is not holy. This means, John, that sinless Jesus has to be divorced, segregated from sinners at all costs. We've got to keep Jesus pure. We cannot okay him to be dirtied and contaminated and unholied with such a baptism for sinners. And that's when our jaws hit the floor. We become flabbergasted. In fact, we become angry because then John flagrantly, bullishly, and audaciously disobeys and violates our infallible unanimous vote. He brazenly ignores our removing him from office at First Congregation on the Jordan. He blatantly goes and does the impossible. He breaks the rules. He baptizes Jesus as a sinner. He treats him like one of us. You want to talk about unsportsmanlike conduct in the church? You want to talk about desecration of the highest order? I mean, this is outrageous. It's disgraceful. It's despicable. Someone called the commissioner of church affairs in Jerusalem. Huge fines and a lifetime suspension from the ministry for John are in order. And then all of a sudden, when it appears that we're still somewhat in charge with all of our outrage and indignation, our jaws hit the floor again. All of heaven breaks loose and floods First Congregation on the Jordan. The Holy Spirit, in the form of the dove, comes and rests on Jesus, giving his full approval to what has happened. And then, God the Father, the highest authority in heaven and on earth, preaches an infallible and most authoritative sermon. Now, I know it's hard to hear. I know it's shocking. But you'd better get used to it, and you better quit objecting so much, because it's the best news you'll ever hear in your life. It's the greatest gift that you'll ever be given in your life. Listen. The Father's sermon is this. Do you see the baptized as a sinner, Jesus? Take a good look, everyone. That's my boy. He's doing all of my will. He's doing everything that I purpose. He's doing everything that I want done. And that means his being treated as a sinner in John's baptism. That he's counted as a sinner. That he purposely violates the rule that you so strenuously want to keep in place. The Father continues. He says, I wanted him there in John's baptism for sinners. That's precisely where he needs to be. After all, the Father says, your salvation depends on my perfect and holy Son, Jesus, taking all your sin in his body, in fact, becoming sin, beginning here at the Jordan, and then being damned with all of it on the cross on Good Friday. If you got your way, the Father tells us, and kept my Son Jesus from John's baptism for sinners, then your sin and all of its damnation would remain on you. If you were successful in keeping my Son Jesus innocent and uncontaminated with your sin, then you would have to carry your sin, and then you would be damned in it. In short, your sin, all of it, must be my Son's sin, or you will perish eternally. And so the Father declares, I am absolutely delighted with what Jesus does here at First Congregation on the Jordan. He is baptized as a sinner for his sinner's salvation, for your salvation. That's precisely why I love him, the Father says. And now the Father finishes. Now that you've been baptized into my beloved Son's Good Friday death, you have new life. The life of faith in my Son, your Savior, who was baptized for you, the sinner. It is the Holy Spirit-filled life of using my Son's atoning death on the cross and your baptism against all your sin every day of your life, counting yourself dead to it, but alive to God in my Son, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, after hearing such an authoritative sermon from the Father, what in the world is there left to do? How about this? Let's believe it. Shall we? Yeah, let's do that. And you know what faith does? Faith prays. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for sending John to baptize Jesus against our will. Thank you, Jesus, for being baptized as a sinner for us and for our salvation. Thank you, Father, for your sermon. It has repented us and has given us great joy. In your beloved Son, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.